Hello and welcome to another podcast from the Wicketgate magazine. And in this podcast, I'm continuing with the series What Saith the Scriptures? And we're looking at the Epistle of James. Now, the Epistle of James has been referred to as the Epistle of Practice. The great burden of James's heart is that form of Christianity that majors in saying without doing, faith without works. This attitude he upbraids as being sub-spiritual, for the existence of true saving faith in a person's life must, surely, result in good works that are to the praise and honour of Christ. On account of this emphasis, some have seen James as standing at variance with Paul, with his resounding gospel of justification before God, apart from the works of the law. But there is no clash. Paul resolutely declares that a man will never receive salvation by his good works before God. But James just as resolutely declares that if a man has truly received salvation, then the possession of that salvation will express itself in a fruitful life. By works, the Holy Spirit by Paul is referring to the works of the law to justification. By works, the same Holy Spirit by James is referring to the deeds of a gospel life to the praise of God. Even a casual glance at the writings of Paul will show the absolute moral demand of the gospel of free grace that he calls for continuously in his readers. And there should never be any difficulty in holding the two aspects in total harmony. As John Calvin puts it, we are justified by faith alone, but the faith that justifies is never alone. Paul and James have been likened to two men, one standing inside a great ball and declaring, it is concave, the other standing on the outside and declaring, it is convex. Both are right, and each is dealing with one aspect of the full-orbed gospel of God's redeeming grace to sinners. James and Paul, under God, stand as a good example to us that we are ever to compare Scripture with Scripture, in order to know the mind of the Lord, in that measure he would grant us to know it. In the opening words of James, the writer refers to himself as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to his original readers as the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. The people addressed, therefore, came into the same category as those whom Peter describes as the diaspora, that is, the church in the world. The diaspora was the name given to the Israelites who didn't have their home in Israel, so it was an appropriate title for believers in the world, who yet awaited their entrance into their eternal Canaan. The identification of James with one of the brothers of the Lord is still possibly the most widely held view regarding authorship, but there are those who would question this. As far as content goes, the Epistle of James is far-reaching and searching with regards to the practical outworkings of the Christian life. It is a kind of New Testament book of Proverbs in this respect. The circumstances under which the readers are having to live are trying and difficult. James takes this very much into account. At the same time, however, there must be the upholding of the true standards of conduct for all of them who profess faith. There is to be no respect of persons. There is to be a resisting of the devil, and there is to be a recoiling from the things of the world that would do detriment to the spiritual life. The tongue is to be controlled, and the life of prayer and patience is to be nurtured. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh, says James, and it therefore follows that we should labour to be found doing right when he does return. The strength and the force of some of the exhortations in James have troubled some. But, again, this need not be the case. Matthew Henry's words may be recalled. The best of men need to be exhorted about the worst of sins. Or, as another has put it, although the regenerate cannot become unregenerate, they can, alas, become degenerate. It is that sad state that James aims to turn from us. Amen, and may you find these thoughts of benefit to you. This has been another podcast from the Wicket Gate magazine, wicketgate.co.uk. Thanks for listening.